Good morning. Starting a week from today, as has been mentioned, Denny Freeman will be here with us, so he'll be speaking Sunday in the morning and in the evening, and then each night at 7:30. Twice a year, we make an effort congregationally to put an extra time, extra finances, extra energy into a collective series of lessons. In the spring, we do it with the lecture format during the forum, and then in the fall, a speaker comes in and will be doing for us what Denny will be doing for us this year. And I want us to talk about this morning, what can I do to help the upcoming meeting? And be thinking about what each of us can do to help make this what it can and should be. So number one, how can I help the work? How can I help myself? Maybe by turning this on. How can I help outsiders? How can I help the speaker? How can I help my family? And lastly, how can I help my brother? Sorry, I didn't have that on before. I forgot to turn that on. And so I want you to think about each one of these. It'll make a big difference whether or not we commit ourselves to be really involved and take advantage of this, both for ourselves or for other people. If we don't put much into it, if we don't sacrifice our time, if we don't work for it, if we don't involve ourselves with it, it's not going to do us any good. Now, maybe do somebody else some good, but if I or you don't do anything for it or don't participate in it, it's not going to do us any good. And the purpose of it is to do good. So let's start with, what can we do to help the work? We're going to begin with pray. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 17 through 20. Paul says, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And then Paul says, and on my behalf, that utterance may be given unto me in opening my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So what's Paul asking for? He's a prisoner at Rome, and what's he asking these brethren in Asia Minor to do? To pray for him in his teaching and in his work. Pray for me that I'll do that as I ought to do it. Be praying for Denny. Be praying for the effort. Be praying for the work. Take part. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. This is the church at Jerusalem. Now, you couldn't keep this up, the same schedule, everything, like the forum in the spring. We really enjoy that. And, of course, a lot of us are involved in also entertaining some young people that come in at the same time, and some activities that we do. And we all enjoy it, but it's also kind of by the end, you know, you're kind of worn out and you couldn't turn around and do that for another week. And next week's going to be a busy week. And it'll be good that it's not followed up by another week that busy. But at times, it's good to really, really get focused. And here the church has gotten established. And look what it says in verse 46. Day by day, continually steadfast with one accord in the temple. And back up in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and breaking bread and prayers. So the church has gotten established, and these people are really committed, involved. And it's taken a lot of their time, and they're putting that time into it. Why are they putting that time into it? Well, what did Jesus say at the end? Well, really kind of in the middle, second half of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, there are other things in life that are going on. What's this chapter about, Matthew chapter 6? It's about we need food to eat. We need clothes to wear. And Paul's going to say to the Thessalonians, you know, if a man won't work, neither shall he eat. So we got obligations we need to meet. We got things that we need to take care of. But there is a huge, huge difference between putting the kingdom of God first and treating the kingdom of God as an adjunct or a side issue or an afterthought. Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink. You're going to have something to eat. You're going to have something to drink. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what we have to put first. And invite. So not only be here, but invite people. In John chapter 1, verse 41, when John the Baptist has identified Jesus, one of the disciples of John the Baptist was a fisherman named Andrew. And what does he do? This is John chapter 1, verse 41. He finds first his own brother, Simon. He says, we found the Messiah. And then another fellow down here, Philip, is following Jesus. And what does Philip do? Verse 45, Philip finds Nathanael and said, we have found him. So they're inviting their friends, their relatives, come. And that's another thing that we can do. So we can be praying for it. We can be here and we can be inviting people here. Helping ourselves. Well, for one thing, by being willing to sacrifice. The things that have benefited you most in life, and let's take a look outside the kingdom of God for a minute. Things that benefit us tend to require some sacrifice from us, doesn't it? For those of you that are married, is marriage beneficial? Marriage is very beneficial. Does it call for sacrifice? Yes, it does. You have children. Are children beneficial? Does it call for sacrifice? Yes, it does. You get into things more when you put into things. And so you see somebody with an attitude of heart like the seeking first in Luke 21:4, where Jesus commends this widow because there's some rich men putting in some big bags of money. The text says of their excess. In other words, they've got a lot. So there's a lot going in, but it's their extra. What was that one way to do it? She had two coins left. Two coins. And where did she put both of them? Into the treasury. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Look at this. I don't know if you've thought much about this. Acts chapter 20. Verse 7, Paul has come to Troas, which may be a work that he had gotten started earlier on this third missionary journey when there had been a door open there. And now he's got a chance to come back. Now, they're going to be gathered together on the first day of the week. And Paul's going to take that opportunity to talk to them. So look at verse 7. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul discoursed with them, intending to depart on the morrow. And then what did he do? He prolonged his speech until midnight. And then, of course, there's poor Eutychus that, for various reasons, fell out of the window. And there's some concern about him. But even besides that, he ends up being okay. But Paul stays there and talks with them a long while, even until the break of day. So just think about that for a moment. Sunday was not a day off in the Greco-Roman world. And so they would have, disciples would need to either get together, you know, when they're free, not working. And so that's, in this case, they'd gotten together sometime after the work day. But Paul's there, and they've got an opportunity to hear, and he's got an opportunity to communicate with them before he leaves town, and he preaches till midnight. Now, what time do the slaves and the craftsmen and other people need to be up in the morning? And not only does he preach till midnight, but a lot of them stayed there talking together until daybreak. Now, again, you can't do that every day, but why did they do that day? Paul was there and they had an opportunity and they spent extra time focused on that. Desire. There's a big, big difference in these two statements. Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said, let us go up to the house of the Lord. And Malachi chapter 1, oh, what a weariness it is. What's the difference in those two statements? One, I was glad when they said, let us go up to the house of the Lord. The other, oh, what a weariness it is. Can everybody see the difference? Where's the difference? The difference is right here. Where's your heart? What are you putting first? Do you view an opportunity like this as, oh, I'm glad? Do you view an opportunity like this, oh, that'd be tiring? Praise. Come and we'll be singing together. Praise God and exhort one another. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. After saying, don't be drunk with wine where it is riot, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Now notice the two directions there. Sing and make melody to the Lord, but also speaking to one another and teaching each other. Some of our songs, some of my favorite songs, are songs of praise. I just, powerful songs of praise. We need that. We need to praise God. Is it that God needs to hear us praise? We need, it's valuable for us to just praise God. And then other songs are directed towards teaching one another. The song we're about to sing in just a few minutes, Armor of Light, okay? And if you don't know, this was written right here in Gettysburg. Stephen wrote it back in 2012. It's one of my favorite songs. And if you look at the end of Romans 13, this is really, really based off the text at the end of Romans chapter 13. In fact, turn over to that text and keep it in mind in a few minutes when we sing this. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And when we sing this in a minute, sing it. Verse 11. This, knowing the season, that already it is time for you to awake out of sleep, for now is salvation nearer to us than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day of it is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us do what? Put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Listen, worship is not to be a spectator sport. we need to involve each other. We're going to talk in a minute about being involved with our speaker when Denny comes, in our obligations and things in there. But when we sing, Ephesians 5 doesn't say, have a song leader sing. Sing, making melodies, teaching one another. It's to be an involved thing. When we pray, and I need to remember this more, at the end of prayer, what did they do? Paul refers to in 1 Corinthians 14, don't pray in a foreign language, because if you do, the other fellow doesn't know how to say amen at the closing of the prayer. I need to remember to do better about that. That's a good thing. There's something powerful about at the end of a prayer having a collective amen. There's something powerful about singing where everybody's focused and singing together. Something powerful about if we're focused, all of us, on the blood and on the his body. There's something powerful in when the word is being spoken if we're all focused on it. So don't sit down and go into neutral. Praise and teach and edify. And apply. As you're hearing Denny talk about these things, what does it say in James 1, 21 and 22? Be ye, in fact, I want you to look at the phrase there about the implanted word and how to receive it. Look at James chapter 1. Verse 21. I mean, James chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness. Now, listen to this wording. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. Now, breaking that down, we need to receive the word. Do you see how this is kind of similar to the parable of the sower? The seed was the word. The seed got thrown out there, but did everybody receive it? No, when it hit the hard ground, nothing happened. It wasn't received. There was rocky ground, roots not. There was thorny ground, stuff choking it out. There was good ground that what? Receives the implanted word. Receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls, and be doers of the word and not hearers only. We're not here to just sit through and hear something and not apply it. We're not here to think, well, I hope somebody else will apply that. There's a story about the guy that there was this one guy in the congregation that really needed some things, and the preacher kept delivering sermons. And he'd always say, boy, you really let him have it today, you know. And one day it was bad weather and nobody was there but the preacher and this one guy. So he thought, all right. So he let that guy have it. And after he said, boy, if they'd have been here, you would have really let him have it. Also, perhaps that preacher, this is just a joke, but also perhaps that preacher should have sat down with him, because not everything needs to be communicated here. But the joke makes a point that sometimes we can think things are for everybody else. Who's the word for? Receive with, and how to receive it? Meekness, the implanted word. How did Stephen describe the Israelites in Old Testament history and before the Sanhedrin? You stiff-necked. What does a stiff-necked person do with the word? I don't want to hear that. Receive with meekness and then let it bear fruit. So there'll be lots of good things said next week that will help us spiritually, that will help you. There's things that you're facing in life that lessons next week will help you. There are things that would help if you had friends or relatives here that could help them. Be here, take part, listen, and apply those things. How to help outsiders. Well, we've already talked about one of the main ways, invite them. And then meet and encourage them. Stay there right in James chapter 2, and it talks about how to treat people when they come in. Verse 2, if there comes into your synagogue a man with a gold ring and fine clothing, there comes in also a poor man in vile clothing, and have regard to him that wears fine clothing, say, here in a good place. And you say, the poor man, stand thou there, sit under my footstool. You've got evil heart, and you're making distinctions that you shouldn't do. But we should be welcoming to people. And people will come into our assemblies. The assemblies are not designed, usually, for outsiders. The church gathers together. It's an assembling of saints, and they're encouraging one another in word of worship. But it's also to think about how that affects people that visit. You remember in 1 Corinthians 14, where he's saying, if you're just all speaking with tongues untranslated, what are people, visitors going to think? You know, they're going to think you're crazy. It should be edifying. And so when somebody comes in, and y'all are good about this. I hear people, you know, they just really appreciate the way they're welcome. And if you're one of the ones that do that, keep doing that. If you're not, be doing that. Think about our visitors and such, and welcome them. And let me just say this also, and sorry to our visitors here today that are brethren from other states, but it can be easy for us to get used to people being tourists and assume everybody is brethren that are here on tourism. And so, oh, well, there's some more brethren from out of state that are here to see the battlefield. Oh, not everybody is. You know, sometimes you walk up to people and you're expecting them to say, where are you from? Missouri, you know, or Texas or Kentucky. And you say, where are you from? And they said, a few blocks over there. You know, but if we don't stop and meet people, we don't know that. Make them feel welcome. And be a Barnabas. Barnabas, who would later be selected, be asked to go up to work with Antioch of Syria, and later be called by the Holy Spirit to go out with Paul. Well, before that, what did the apostles name him? His mother didn't name him Barnabas. His mother named him Joseph, his mother and father. They named him Joseph. The apostles named him Barnabas. It meant son of encouragement. So be an encouragement to people and help the speaker. Denny Freeman. Some of you know this plaque up here. Anybody that's been up here has probably noticed this plaque. It's John chapter 12, verse 21. And it says, sir, we wish to see Jesus. In John chapter 12, there were some people that come up and they told one of the disciples, they said, we want to see Jesus. Denny used to preach here in Gettysburg years ago. He did effective work here and effective work in the next county over, getting work established. Of course, some of you will remember that. I wasn't here, but the Legs were here. Kevin and Lori were here. Mike and Leanna would have been here. Percy and Betty, Lisa. I may be missing somebody. But y'all were here and would have seen the work that Denny did here. And he, I believe it was him, that put a sign up here originally just as a reminder of what the purpose is, to point people to Jesus. So when I got here, there was a piece of paper up here, and it was kind of torn and folded up at one end, but the message was still there. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. And I liked that. And when we moved into the new building, somebody put it in plaque form. I really like that being here. There's no authority in this. The authority is in the word of the Lord. When Denny's speaking, when I'm speaking, when our elders are speaking, when Jonathan's speaking, this is another time that we have an obligation there, not just to receive with meekness the implanted word, but to listen and check what's being said. What was commended about the Bereans? Look at Acts 17:11. Now, Paul happened to be an apostle. He's inspired. But that's not what he expects people to understand when he gets to town. Paul, when he gets to a synagogue, doesn't go in and say, by the way, you can put those scrolls away. No need to look at scripture because I happen to be an apostle, you know, and a prophet, and so you can just listen to me. That's not what he says. Later, he'll get to his apostleship and his call, but that's not where he begins. because there's not a reason to believe that yet. He's going to lay the foundation of Jesus Christ. He says, I lay, you know, Jesus Christ, and no other foundation can men lay except Jesus Christ. That's what he's going to point them to. And in getting them there, he's going to point back to the prophecies of the Old Testament. So when he got to Berea, after a lot of resistance in Thessalonica, this is what the text says. Acts 17, verse 10. The brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night to Berea, who, when they came there, went into a synagogue of the Jews. Now, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Look what they did. They received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the scriptures daily whether these things were so. So did they passively listen? No. They're commended because they listened and then checked to see if what he said was so. And the Bible doesn't say those suspicious Bereans. It said they were noble because they listened and then searched the scriptures to see if that was so. There's an accountability there, and that accountability is on us as we're listening. When we hear the implanted word and it's a word, what do we need to do? Receive it, hear it, and be not hearers of the word only, but do the word. But accountability is really important. Listen, a couple weeks ago, and this wasn't a matter of whether it was truth or not, but just how it was delivered. A couple weeks ago, I did a difficult lesson on just what's going on in all the abuse and scandal and cover-up and everything in the Catholic Church. That was a rough lesson to do, and several people really appreciated that lesson, and I also got some constructive criticism, and that was really valuable. So, for instance, Joyce really appreciated the lesson. She wanted to know where that one book was and how to find that other old book about the popes, and she ordered one of them, and she got the link to be able to find the other one. And Jim, and of course, as you may know, both Jim and Joyce come out of Catholicism. Jim talked to me that evening, and he really didn't feel comfortable about some things about the lesson. He explained to me why, and I really appreciated that. I understood what Joyce appreciated about it, and I understood what Jim didn't. And one of his observations was there was some scripture at the beginning, and then he felt there was just so much about the problem and some scripture at the end. And I thought, I really, really appreciated that, and that's going to make me do lessons like that. I'll keep that in mind when I do that in the future. That was really valuable to me, and I really appreciated Jim's criticism on that. It helped me a lot. It's a brother who's a good teacher and effective, and that means something to me. I needed that. It's not, in other words, give feedback, help the speaker. Jonathan said one of the reasons that he wanted to come to Gettysburg was because when he came and spoke for us, people didn't just say, oh, that was a good lesson. He got feedback and constructive feedback. Now, sometimes it has to do with a question of judgment or how it come across and things like that. And that's important because sometimes I can do it poorly. Other times it's just on a matter of truth. I can say something's not true. I can say, I remember one time, wow, this is years ago, I was in college, I was teaching class, and I was talking about why people shouldn't say covetousness is idolatry. And, you know, I'd made my arguments and everything, and then John Trigg goes, Scott, I understand everything you said, but in Colossians, Paul said covetousness is idolatry. So I said, well, then, you know, everything I just said was out the window. You know, speakers need that. If we ever get to the point we think, well, I had a friend of mine, she said, she was talking to a friend of hers, and she said, what do you believe about such and such? She said, I don't know. I'll have to ask my pastor what I believe. Kevin, when he was growing up, and he started studying, and he was coming with Lori and been studying with legs and different things, and hearing the gospel, but back at where he'd been going one time, the preacher had said something. I may have the details slightly wrong. You can probably tell it a little better, Kevin, because you were there. When the thing came about, you asked the question about where is that in the Bible. Can you share that? Yeah. So when he asked the pastor, where does it say that in the Bible? Somebody took him aside and said, you don't ask the pastor that. I need, Jonathan needs, our elders need us to hold us accountable to the word. And even when it's not on a matter of truth or not, even things about how it's delivered and how it comes across and stuff, that's beneficial. But if we're just passive, oh, the song leader is leading that song. Well, the person doing the prayer is going to doing that. Well, the speaker said that. We need to be involved. And aid. Some of you are signed up. I haven't looked at the list yet. If there's some people not signed up for the list, consider maybe having Denny in your home. Denny, in addition to all the good work he's done up here, he's doing some really powerful work down in Florida among prisoners. And it's very encouraging to see. Greg Whipple, who I know back from Rhode Island days, is down there doing some really good work in that as well. Jonathan has plans to go down there soon. And there's some power. Of course, when you're doing prison work like any work, there's going to be plenty of thorny ground and rocky ground and hard ground, but they're finding some really good results and doing powerful things. And we support Denny in part. And I tell you, when there's a congregation supporting you, it's beneficial to get to know those people and them know you. Years ago when I was doing more planting works and different things, there was a congregation in Alabama that took care of my outside support. So like when I was in Rhode Island, they said, we're going to take care of your outside support. When I went to Prague, they took care of my outside support. When I came here, they provided some of my support until we came self-supporting here. And that meant a lot to me. You know, when I would visit there, you know, those people knew who I was and they knew who he was. So if you don't know Denny yet, get to know Denny. Galatians chapter 6, and we'll be giving him some financial support for him coming and doing this for us. But if you have him in your home and share dinner with him, look at this here in Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Give him your attention. If you have him in your home, share some food with him. You know, get to know him and have that connection. You know what Paul said when he wrote back to the Philippians? He said he thanked them for their fellowship with him in the furtherance of the gospel. In other words, when Paul's over here doing this work, the Philippians are sharing with him in that work because they're financially helping him do that. And so that powerful work that's going down there in the prisons and stuff, and other work that he's doing, you're sharing in that. And bolster him. Time's running late here, and so I'm not going to read all these other texts. But in Acts chapter 4, after the apostles have been arrested and threatened here, the brethren get together and they pray for them and support them. And for your family, plan. Make your plans be there. In the days of Nehemiah, when they're building the wall, they plan what to do, and then they did it. Well, but that's going to take a lot of work. Yes, it did. And one of the complaints that comes through, it's like, well, the crops are being, you know, stuff's not getting done. Well, right then, there was a big job that needed some extra attention. And so you know what they did? It said the people had a mind to work. And they got together, and they did it. And once the wall was up, it was done. It wasn't, you know, for the next 30 years, we're going to be building the wall. 52 days. They concentrate, and they got it done. Well, next week, we're going to have six days. Let's plan, let's work, and exemplify that to your kids. You know, Paul says to Timothy, the faith that's in you, which was first in your mother and in your grandmother. The priorities that we put in our lives can speak powerfully to our kids. The priorities we don't put into our lives can speak powerfully to our kids. Because if our kids see, well, I don't feel like, and you know, part of it's just being following through on commitment stuff. Bertina is always here. You know, if you, Bertina doesn't get up on Sunday morning and say, well, I'm going to go to church today. Well, maybe on Sunday. She's just here like most of you. You're just here. But you know what? She's not committed to the work at Harrisburg. So I go every week up to Harrisburg. So Jonathan and I will be running up, and Jonathan and I are both speaking up there today. And so we'll leave about round two. We'll go up there. We'll speak. We'll come back here. Usually it's Stephen and Chase doing more of the speaking. I occasionally do a little bit. I usually do a short one at the end. But I do that. So I'm here in the morning, go to Harrisburg, then I'm back here in the evening. Bertina's not committed to that, and so last week she was talking about it, and the way she described it struck me as the way sometimes I think people think about their local assembly. So she's like, well, should I go to Harrisburg today or not? And you know, I want to go sometimes, but I don't. And she says, it's always hard to decide whether or not to go. Now, see, Mondays is a big day for Bertina, because besides stuff at home and Luke's homeschooling, she has a group of students that she's responsible to tutor and teach, and I don't know what all subjects it is last year that you're just started, but lots of times it's science, Latin, a bunch of things, very regimented. So she has to do prep. So it's not easy for her to take the afternoon off. But as she was saying, maybe if I just had a system, maybe if I went every other time, then it would just be easier. But what struck me was, you see, that she has a continuing battle of should I go to Harrisburg or not, because she's not, that's not just a decision she's committed to. She doesn't have that battle about here. Why? Because she's just committed to that. Now, since I go there, I just go. But you think about a person that where they go normally, if they're not committed, then each Sunday morning it's what? Should I go this morning or not? Sunday night. Should I go this morning? Well, I thought about maybe, but there's a ball game on. Or Wednesday night. Should I go? It's a lot more trouble to have to should I or not than just to what? Than just to make a man say, I'm going to do that. The 52 days of building that wall with Nehemiah. And I'm not criticizing Bertina on that. I hope everybody understands. I'm just saying it's the difference between if you've made something part of your routine or not, if you've made a commitment to it or not. And when they did that wall, if everybody says, yeah, do you feel like building a wall today? I don't know. I don't want to build a wall today. Would that wall have got up? How to help your brethren? Look at Hebrews 10:24. Start with 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope that it waver not. He's faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Not forsaking our own assembling together as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another. And support like they did in the days of Nehemiah. And then grow. Our last passage, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints under the work of ministering, under the building up of the body of Christ. Now, not everybody, because of you know, other there are other things, and like different people have different work schedules and everything. Not everybody's going to be able to make it every time. But seek first the kingdom of God, and if you will put into this upcoming week, if you will be committed to this upcoming week, if when we sing, we will all sing, if when we pray, we will all pray, if when we're listening to the word, we will all listen to the word, if we will be encouraging our speaker, if we will be encouraging each other, if we will be reaching out, then what's going to happen this next week? You're going to be stronger. I'm going to be stronger. We're going to be stronger. If we don't put anything into it, and we expect the song leader to do his job, and we expect Denny to do his job, and we expect some people to go there, and maybe somebody will invite somebody, then what are we going to get out of it? Nothing. Let's put ourselves into it. Thank you for your attention this morning. And if you need to respond to the Lord in any way, why don't you do so as we stand and really sing this song, Armor of Light.